This week on the Mountain Lion Chalk Talk podcast, Jake sits down with the head women's cross-country coach, Corey Kubatsky, to talk about the program's recent success, top athletes to watch, and the unique format of collegiate cross-country. This is the Mountain Lion Chalk Talk podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into this week's podcast, or this week's episode, I should say, of the Mountain Lion Chalk Talk podcast. My name is Jake Ross, and as always, I hope you guys had a good week, a little bit longer of time in between episodes this time around, and I hope you all had an enjoyable and safe Labor Day weekend. Lots of UCCS athletics to catch you up on between now and the last time that we spoke, so we'll get into that right now. So first up, we have men's soccer, who's off to a very good start. We'll have an episode with the coaching staff of that team next week. Lewis Wilcox and Keith Bedaris sat down with me this week just to catch you up on how they did. They were getting ready to go on the road to Montana when we left off. They dropped their first game of the season on that trip to Northwest Nazarene. They fell 1-0, and Northwest Nazarene, a very good team, got that goal with just a couple, less than a minute to play, actually, in that game. So kind of tough break for the Mountain Lions in that one, but they bounced back accordingly, getting a 3-0 win against Montana State Billings on the road. They came back home, though, against Lubbock Christian last week, got a 3-1 victory. That one included one of the strangest goals that I've ever seen. Kind of the keeper for Lubbock Christian thought he had a free kick, and you know how goalkeepers do, kind of spin the ball and throw it out in front of him for him to take the free kick, and it was a live ball, and he threw it right to Colby Ranieri for the first goal in that game. Very strange sequence, but the Mountain Lions take a 3-1 victory in that game. They draw against St. Mary's, scoreless draw in that one on Friday of last week, and then yesterday night, Adams State came to town. Not a conference game yet, part of that gentleman's agreement on the men's soccer side of things, but it was all UCCS in that one. Record-breaking win, 11-0, most goals in a single game in program history, and most total points for the team in a single game in program history. So very commanding win, the men receiving votes nationally for the first time in over 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. So they are off to a great start. For the women's, they have been kind of struggling for their standards. The last time that we talked, they were getting ready to go on the road as well. They took a win at Southwestern Oklahoma State, 2-1, as well as a win at St. Edwards. That was the last time that game had just finished up, right before we put out our last episode. So a couple of 2-1 wins on the road for them for their road trip. They come back to Mountain Lion Stadium last week, play 180 minutes of soccer. And in both of those games, no goals were had for either side. So a scoreless draw against Central Washington and a scoreless draw against Cal Poly Pomona saw them fall out of the top 25 in the country. Still receiving votes, though. Kind of the question started to rise a little bit around that program. And they said, oh, yeah, watch this last night. And with a new look lineup, as they were dealing with some sickness issues, had three or four starters, regular starters, out of the lineup, and they took the win 6-0 against Western Colorado. So nothing to worry about, it looks like, for women's soccer. They'll have one more game this weekend, and we'll cover that in a few minutes at the end of the episode. For the women's volleyball team, they started on the road, as we spoke about in the first couple episodes, playing in the West Texas Buff Classic tournament and then heading to Lubbock Christian to play in the Shaps Classic. They come back home, play two very good teams in CSU Pueblo and number 23 ranked Regis. Between the two matches, they take two sets total, losing both 1-3. But The caveat here is they are playing very well. Lauren Shockley, unfortunately, goes down with a foot injury. It looks like she'll be done for the season, along with Camden Strain with another leg injury. So two of their top players do go down for the season, unfortunately. But Riley Babcock is playing out of her mind lately. She's got like 30-plus assists in each of the matches that she plays, which is just obscene. And I was in attendance for that match against Colorado State Pueblo, and that was the most electric atmosphere I have seen in a UCCS volleyball match atmosphere since I've been involved with UCCS athletics. So though they did go down and they lost both of those games, a set to three sets, they're a team to watch. They're playing number 4 ranked MSU Denver, so kind of no time to breathe in the RMAC. There's 5 ranked schools with the 3 that I just mentioned, CSU Pueblo, Regis, and MSU Denver. Colorado Mesa's also receiving votes, and Colorado School of Mines was also ranked in the RMAC. So no room to breathe in the RMAC for the volleyball side of things, but it's a fun team to watch. Even when they don't come out on the winning side, they still do some fun things. So make sure you get out to Gallegly when the women's volleyball team is in town. Golf got started as well this past weekend. Both the men's and women's teams heading up to CCU in Lakewood. The women's tournament, I should say, was actually up in Thornton for the CCU Swan Memorial, and both the men's and women's golf teams kind of finishing in the middle of the pack to when things were all said and done. The women's were 8th out of 16 teams, so right there in the middle of the pack. The men's team got off to a great start on day one. They were 4th out of 11 teams, I should say. And day two and the final day, day three, they ended up 6th out of 11 teams. So right in the middle of the pack, nothing to really knock on them. Getting started, the first tournament for golf is always interesting. I mean, you and me both know when you or I go out to the golf course, it can be an ugly sight. So the first tournament of the season for these men and women on the golf team, same thing for them, and they are right there in contention in the middle of the pack for both. Men's and women's cross country also got started. September 3rd was their first meet, and it was the UCCS Rust Buster, and in pure UCCS cross country form, they came out on top of their opening home meet. First of 6 teams on both the men's and women's side. Layla Al-Masri was the individual winner for the women's race, so congratulations to her. Also, she earned a RMAC Runner of the Week honor for that week, so the women's cross country team and men's cross country team in mid-season form from the get-go, no surprise there. Speaking of women's cross country, this week I sat down with the head women's cross country coach and the head women's distance coach for the track side of things in the spring, Corey Kubatsky. He has been with UCCS for a number of years now, and it's a very established program on the distance running side of things for UCCS athletics. We talked to Nathan Gibson when he was on, and he just said they're set in their ways. We don't really even have to worry about them. They're good year in and year out, and they've got it down pat, and that is the truth. And so now that we've got all of those 2 weeks of absence recapped, I will turn it over to our interview of the week with Corey Kubatsky of the women's cross-country team. Enjoy, everybody. Hello, everyone, and welcome into our interview of the week. I'm sat down with Corey Kubatsky, the head women's cross-country coach and assistant women's track distance coach. And Corey, just this is your 8th year with UCCS, and obviously there's lots of up and downs during 8 years of college athletics. And kind of as you sit now, What has been your proudest moment with UCCS so far?
Starting off with the big questions.
The hard hitters, yes, wasting no time.
There's certainly been a ton of moments that make you feel proud as a coach, but I think overall it's just how the women on the team have built the culture up and take care of each other and have a really nice balance between athletics, academics, and being good teammates. So yeah, I think just how the culture has been built, I think is what I'm most proud of. But certainly, in every season, every year, there's a ton of little moments that are little victories for people that not too many people know, the stories behind those moments, and maybe they don't show up in the results, but they're pretty big for the team and for that individual. And so just being able to be a part of, those experiences with a great group of women that I get to work with is pretty cool.
And now that I've got the hard hitter, put you on the spot out of the way, kind of originally take me back. What originally got you into the sport? I know you and I talked about it briefly at Media Day, and kind of tell us that story of getting into of cross country originally.
Yeah, I played a lot of different sports growing up, pretty much everything. In middle school, we had a math teacher who was also the cross country coach, Colonel Doug Walters, and he would just at the beginning of the year he would set out a table outside a in lunch recess and try to recruit people to come out for cross country. And I didn't really know what it was. He just said it was running and racing. and so me and some of my buddies, we signed up and that's how I got started. And he was a great coach and great influence on making the sport fun, but also being competitive. And it was just a great start. So, but at the time I was playing middle school basketball, believe it or not. club soccer, you name it, and we were doing it. So that's how I got started, and played soccer through junior year of high school and ran cross and track at the same time. And senior year decided to kind of focus on cross and track, and then ended up going into college and running there. So yeah, that was kind of an interesting start, but yeah, Colonel Doug Walters. Yeah, he was first coach.
And then as you kind of began to finish up your career as a runner, obviously you never fully stop just running, but when did it become, and what was the first opportunity that really presented itself that you thought, I could really continue this on the coaching side, and what led you to make that decision and set you on where you've come now?
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think, most people who are running in college, would rather continue on as an athlete. But, for me, I recognized that I could be a solid mid pack, collegiate distance runner, but there wasn't really going to be, high level competitive future for me as an athlete. But I love the, aspect of the team and the team dynamics. I've always loved that part of sport. And my sophomore year I started working with my coach to start helping out with recruiting and start helping out with logistics and meet management and stuff like that, and started getting more experience with it. And so kind of wanted to keep that door open and make sure that I had some skills, before leaving college, so that maybe I'd get an opportunity. Obviously, it's a very, very competitive field to go into, and especially at the college level. And I was fortunate that Mark Misch, the men's coach here, he was head of both programs at the time. He was the best man in my coach's wedding, and had happened to have a GA spot open up right when I was graduating, and just kind of fell into my lap. So, I was very fortunate to kind of be able to transition out of being an athlete and straight into coaching.
And so, obviously, staying at UCCS was the decision you ultimately made. What kind of was the aspects that went into that decision? Obviously, there's lots of factors that go into a decision like that, of family, of where you want to be geographically. And what kind of stood out to you about this this position itself at UCCS that kind of motivated you to want to stay here?
Yeah, well, after, you know, 2 years of being a graduate assistant or assistant coach and getting my master's, my wife, well, then girlfriend, but now wife, had the opportunity to go up to Michigan and join a professional team up there. And she got to run professionally. I got to keep coaching, you know, and learn more from kind of a different angle of things. And so, you know, we were up there for 4 years, and it was a great opportunity for us. And then the position came open, or was going to come open, with David Harmer heading back to England. And Mark encouraged me to go after that role and come back and be a part of the program and work together to keep building the program. And so, yeah, at that point, we were kind of ready to move on. And, you know, it's not a hard choice to come back to the mountains and Colorado Springs and UCCS. Obviously, a lot of good things going on here, and you know, really about as close to a dream job as you could get, you know, that early in your career. I thought it would take years and years for me to get back to Colorado as a coach. But, yeah, just very fortunate once again to kind of be in the right place at the right time, and easy decision to come back for sure.
And so into the format that you're kind of in now, obviously you're the head women's coach during the fall, and then you move into technically the assistant role in track, but you're still in charge of the women's distance. Mm-hmm. And so that's a very unique format in terms of college athletics. And if you look at volleyball, baseball, softball, sports like that, they have their season that they're playing in the regular season. They play through the playoffs, tournament play, and then they're into spring or fall off-season play. How kind of important would you say is it to, especially with the way that running is as just an activity in itself, to kind of keep in that year-round competition format? And obviously here in Colorado, you can't run year-round in the winter, but you move into indoor and then you move.
We still run year-round now, even when it's cold. Yeah.
But you still have that year-round competition. And how important is that to keep that intensity up year-round?
Yeah, certainly training year-round is a must at this level. You know, if you're taking the winter or summers off, you know, you're going to be way behind, and it's going to be really hard to be competitive in a fitness-based sport, you know. So, you know, that's huge. In terms of the competition, it is a lot. Having three championship seasons, you know, three conference championships, three national championships, you know, qualifying for both of those within each season between cross, indoor, and outdoor. Yeah, it's a lot. And so, you know, trying to balance the number of races, trying to balance the emotional intensity throughout the year, is something that we pay a lot of attention to. You know, you don't want to get to the middle of indoor season and feel completely burned out. So, yeah, we have to really think about, you know, when we're going to get up for a huge competition and stuff like that. But, yeah, these women work hard year-round, and yeah, it's not an easy sport for sure, but they put in a ton of work, and yeah, we've seen some good results from it.
And so as a coach in other sporting arenas, the coaches are much more involved in the actual product, I would argue, because you're setting your defense, you're making your little chess piece moves throughout games, stuff like that. You and I have watched UCCS women's soccer, and we've are similarly involved in how we play outside the game, I'd say. But is it tough sometimes, because in cross country you truly have to set back and let the athletes do what they're going to do? Do you find that tough at times, just to truly let go and whatever happens?
Yeah, certainly, you know, in the early stages of coaching career, that's difficult, because, yeah, you know what needs to be done, but you don't have any control over it. And so, yeah, once the gun goes off, there's very little that you can do to impact the race. You know, you can give the athlete some feedback here and there, but you know, ultimately, you know, there's no timeouts or substitutions. So, yeah, it comes down to the athlete. But, you know, you try to make up for that with you know, kind of building that into training and into your relationship with the athletes, where, you know, they maybe hear your voice in their head, you know, in different stages of the races, and kind of understand what the plan is and what to do from there. But ultimately, yeah, especially in track, you're trying to build a skill set of understanding, you know, tactical and strategic, you know, options and when to make the moves and all that kind of stuff. And so you have to kind of build that knowledge up within the athlete, especially those competing at a really high level. And so, you know, that's something we work on as well.
And so obviously I've never run track, and it would be a insult to the athletes out there if I even suggested that I ever did. But so talk me through kind of how that works in training during the week. And obviously you look into some of the top opponents that you're looking at, and you're trying to beat this specific place in the race. And the athletes tend to start fast and burn off towards the end of the race, or they take a while to get going and hit their stride towards the end. How do you kind of approach that from both the team perspective, because that's obviously different from each individual person, and then how do you go to those individual athletes, and kind of say, this is what your goal is, this is the time you're trying to hit, stuff like that, and how do you balance that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, the simpler the sport is, the more the details matter, the more the you know, you're trying to find little advantages, you know, here and there. And so you're right, you know, each athlete's going to be different in terms of, you know, what their physiology allows them to do, and what the best race plan or approach to a race is going to be. And so, you know, as a coach, you have to be in tune to the strengths and weaknesses of your individual athletes. We try to, you know, take some of the guesswork out of it, or you know, add a little layer of preparation by really trying to understand the national championship course in cross country, and the unique demands of that course, and the weather on that, you know, that day that we're predicting, and you know, the competition and how the race is going to play out and all those kind of things. And then trying to simulate as much of that as possible in practice, so that when we get there, we feel confident in our ability to be successful in that environment. But yeah, you know, there's a lot to balance, you know, within a individual and team sport. You know, you're balancing what's best for the individual versus getting the benefit of being on a strong team, and the benefits of working together and having a nice group to you know, work with throughout a race or training or whatever. And so, yeah, that's a tricky aspect of it, but you know, that's something we try to get right and try to do better than other teams, for sure.
And so, coming off last year, obviously you guys had the best showing you've ever had nationally. You finished seventh in the national meet as a team. And kind of looking towards this season, what kind of extra motivation has that given the program? Do you guys ever revisit that at all? Remember that feeling? Obviously you have to feel all the emotions, but, does that give you a little extra drive coming into this season?
Yeah, I mean, we just want more, you know, we just want to keep going. You know, we're not satisfied with that. I mean, we're very, very proud of that accomplishment. It was a great year, and so many positives coming out of last year. And but we also don't want to settle there. We think there's more in the tank. And you know, anytime you're that close to a podium, that becomes a very motivating goal. And so I think this team has kind of seen what their hard work can produce. And they put in a heck of a summer, you know, worth of training, and they've come in really, really fit. And yeah, I mean, we we're trying to be better than last year. Yeah, there's no secret about that.
And so, focusing on a specific athlete in particular, Layla Al-Masri, she, as we sit here today, this past weekend, won her second consecutive UCCS Rust Buster. She is a very cool story, I would say, in and of herself. She came in as a walk-on, now an All-American runner. Kind of talk me through how, with Layla especially, but with athletes kind of in that same boat of how they weren't really sure if they want to continue in college. They just come out for the team, see what happens, and then experience success like that. How cool is that for you as a coach to kind of see those athletes go through that development?
Yeah, well, she certainly wanted to continue, but I told her she was too slow at first. And then she started getting a little faster, and we thought maybe we should get this person on the roster. And so, yeah, that shows how good I am as a recruiter, I guess. But, yeah, she's a cool story coming in as a walk-on and just getting better and better every year and, you know, does all the little things right and is a great example for our younger folks and certainly deserves any and all the success she's had. Well, yeah, you know, our sport is full of stories like that, and our program's no exception. You know, we had Meg Super came in either as a walk-on or very minimal scholarship and, you know, grinded away for 4 years and ended up, you know, sneaking onto the national roster her senior year and ended up our fifth runner and scoring member of that team that placed pretty high. And so, you know, there's other stories like that as well of people coming in and grinding away. The tough part right now is as we've gotten better and better, it's harder and harder to kind of take a chance on people, you know, with recruiting who don't have super fast times and stuff like that. But I do try to save one roster spot a year for somebody who we think hasn't hit the times yet, but maybe has a ton of potential, just because I love working with those people so much, and they give so much to the program, and it's just a very rewarding experience whenever, you know, they break through and make a travel team or make a championship squad or something like that. And so those are kind of some of those little moments, you know, that maybe aren't readily noticeable from the outside world, but you know, if you know that this person, you know, paying out of state tuition, come here and as a walk-on and has been just busting their butt for the last 2 or 3 years to give themselves a chance to put the jersey on and represent the program, for them to finally get that is a really cool thing to be a part of.
And so maybe it's not the best transition after that point, but talking about recruiting, obviously, it's a little different, as most things are with cross country, because you have such more expanded rosters. Mm-hmm. So, but in that, obviously, it's tough with the places that people prefer to be. Obviously, we have winter here, and some people don't like that. And so, kind of, how do you navigate some of those recruiting, and how do you go about this is the person I want on my team, this is what they are kind of looking for, and how do you bridge that gap?
Sure, yeah. I mean, first of all, it's got to be a good fit academically. UCCS has some really strong programs, especially in, you know, business, engineering, and health sciences. And so, you know, if somebody's interested in going into, you know, a health science field or engineering or something like that, you know, obviously that's, you know, a good start for the recruiting process. We look for people who are, you know, really high academic achievers. You don't typically have to bail 4.0 students out of jail or stuff like that. So, you know, that's a good start as well. And then we look at, you know, their potential athletically, you know, what we think they can contribute to the program, what the program needs at that time. On the track side of things, if we need a steepler or 10K runner or 800 meter runner, you know, that can kind of shift the focus year to year. And then, you know, how they fit into the team culture, and do they want to be a part of a program that focuses on kind of the team environment, team first, and you know, bringing the other people around you up with you. So, you know, we kind of look at those three things: culture, academics, and athletics. And thankfully, you know, we're really fortunate to, you know, as we've been more and more successful, we've gotten a lot more interest from, you know, all over the country. And so now, you know, we're kind of turning people away at this point who we would have offered big scholarships to a few years ago. But, you know, Colorado is kind of a distance runner mecca, so it's not too hard to convince people to take a look at us.
And so once you get into season, obviously there's the unattachment rules, and there's kind of the chess game you play with redshirting in that breadth. And so how do you kind of approach that, especially going into track season? It's much more prevalent. How do you kind of say, we really like your development, we kind of want to put you on the back burner, and you're going to really be cooking in a year or so, or, and we want to save you for that, or this person is really starting off strong, maybe is dealing with some lingering health issues, so you want to get as much out of them as you can while they're still here. How do you kind of, how do you balance that
sure.
act?
Yeah, well, our sport's unique in some ways, where, you know, you can still compete as a redshirt athlete, you can compete unattached. And so the competitive opportunities don't go away. You know, the ability to travel to big meets or something like that with the team obviously isn't there. But in terms of being able to compete, we can still do that, which is really nice. The other aspect of our sport is that it's pretty black and white, you know, in terms of, you know, times and places and that kind of thing. And so it takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. And so, you know, it is a little bit collaborative, you know, with the athlete, you know, talking through with them, you know, what their academic plans are and when they plan to graduate and, you know, what their goals are and that kind of thing. But usually it's a pretty straightforward decision, you know, based on, you know, what their opportunities would be if they were in Jersey versus, you know, saving that eligibility and having it for when they're a fifth year senior. So, you know, we don't hold people back. If somebody's ready to help us out right away, we're going to give them that opportunity, but we don't want to burn eligibility just for the sake of wearing the jersey. So, so usually it's pretty straightforward, but sometimes we find ourselves in a little bit more strategic position if we have an injury or banged up a little bit or get sick, you know, something like that, then it might come up with us trying to finagle things a little bit to redshirt a season and save it for fifth year.
And so kind of, especially with cross country and track, with a sport that you really need to be in top physical shape, when you go on the road, how do you kind of encourage your athletes to stay loose? Obviously it's tough when you're on a bus ride from Colorado Springs to Topeka, Kansas to stay loose, but kind of talk me through the process of how you keep your athletes both locked in mentally and then make sure they're ready to go physically once that bus arrives.
Sure. Yeah. We talk a lot about kind of developing the competitive process and refining the competitive process. And so that means, you know, looking at what you're doing the week before a race, 5 days before a race, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day before a race. And that covers everything, you know, sleep and fueling, you know, what are you eating? What are you putting in your body? Hydrating mentally, you know, where's your mental intensity level at? And how do we control that to where it builds, you know, to the right level on race day? And so, you know, all those little adjustments that an athlete can make to put themselves in a better competitive mindset and position whenever the gun goes off, you know, that's something that we feel like we can influence. And so if it's within our sphere of influence, then we can try to do it better than other teams, you know. And that's, you know, where we try to find little competitive advantages, right? So, you know, yeah, on a long bus ride or on a trip where you're flying or whatever, you know, each person has kind of a different routine that they do to, you know, try to keep themselves in the right place, you know, as we build towards the race. But, yeah, I think that track and field athletes and cross country athletes are used to, you know, not ideal environments. You know, where we compete in some pretty nasty weather, and you know, there's long days at track meets and long travel and stuff like that. And so I think, you know, most of our athletes are used to that and have a pretty good sense of what they need to do to stay in the right place.
And so as we get into the season, obviously you guys kicked off with the Rust Buster last weekend, had very good team finishes, finishing up top on both sides. What is something that you're really looking forward to? Obviously the obvious answer is the national meet at the end of the year, but is there one or two things along the way that might not be the big glamorous thing like that, that is exciting that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think we have a great group of people kind of right in the middle of our team that have put in a ton of work and have made some jumps over the summer. And Rachel Goodrich is one of those people, Mason and Gallinera, Molly Brewer, obviously others out there, but you know, those three in particular have put in a ton of work and made a big jump, you know, from where we were last year, you know, at this point to this year. And so you know, whenever you have people like that who have been competitive for us in the past, but now are running at a different level, that can really elevate your program. And, you know, so that's really exciting for me, is we have depth, but our depth is really, really high quality too. And so, that obviously helps things as you go through a long season and ups and downs with, you know, illness and injuries and all the normal stuff you deal with over the course of a 3 or 4 month season. So we just have a really, really strong pack behind Layla and Riley. And yeah, they're just at a level that we've never seen that group be before. And so, you know, we've got a really fun opportunity coming up in a few weeks, going out to Louisville and racing in the gold division there with some of the top D2 teams in the nation and a bunch of D1 schools. And that'll give us a real sense of kind of where we're at. But I'm excited to see, you know, those people have experiences that they haven't had before because of the hard work they've put in.
Well, the season's upon us. You're already underway, off to a great start already, and I hope the success continues to find you. Thanks for your time, Corey, and good luck this season.
Hey, thanks, Jake.
That was the head women's cross country coach, Corey Kubatsky, and thanks again to Corey for sitting down with me last week. And before I let you go, as we always do, we'll kind of preview the upcoming events in UCCS athletics this coming week. And the men's and women's soccer team will continue their weekend on Sunday, with the men going first at 12 p.m. against Colorado Christian University. The Cougars coming to town for the first time this year. They will play again in the year on the men's side of things, as Colorado Christian will get a home game during RMAC play, as we mentioned, the game last night against Adams State and this upcoming game against Colorado Christian University are part of those gentlemen's agreement non-conference games right before the conference schedule kicks off. The women did start their conference schedule against Western Colorado, as we mentioned before. They'll continue this weekend with Fort Lewis at 2:30 p.m. on Sunday. Both of those games are part of the Make-A-Wish weekend at the soccer stadium down there by the Hibble Center. So make sure you come out, watch some soccer, support a good cause. Can't go wrong there. The women's volleyball team, they are two sets into their match currently against MSU Denver. MSU did take both of those sets. The second set was very closely contested, though. Mountain Lions only falling by 3 points, 25-22 in that second set. So they're playing well against good teams. They'll start to get over that hump hopefully soon. We'll see whether or not they'll be able to pull the reverse sweep off in this match here and win the final three sets to upset the number four team in the nation in MSU Denver at home at MSU Auraria Event Center. Tomorrow, they'll head down from Denver to Lakewood and take on Colorado Christian University in Lakewood. Obviously, the men's soccer team hosting the Cougars on the road. The women's volleyball team will be up in Lakewood taking on the Cougars in their home gym. That match scheduled to take place at 5 p.m. tomorrow evening. So if you're up in the Lakewood area, be sure to drop by CCU Event Center and catch some volleyball. Both men's and women's golf have a couple weeks off after their first tournament. The women's team will start back up on October 3rd at Dallas Baptist University in the regional preview, that one at the Golf Club of Dallas, and the men's team also in Texas, but they'll be at the Ryan Palmer Foundation Invitational in Canyon, Texas, hosted by West Texas A&M University in Canyon. So a couple weeks off for them. The women's and men's cross-country team right back in action this weekend. Tomorrow is the MSU Denver Invite up in Wash Park in Denver, Colorado. The 6K women's race will take place at 9:45 a.m. and the 8K men's race will take place right before that at 9 a.m., both in Washington Park up in Denver, Colorado. So plenty of options for you to come watch some Mountain Lion Athletics and see some of your favorite teams and athletes play this weekend. Only really team that is not active this weekend are those men's and women's golf teams as they get ready to go to Texas the first week of October. Well, that's all there is to cover for this week. Next week, we will have Lewis Wilcox and Keith Bedaris, the head and assistant men's soccer coaches. Great couple of guys down there. We had a great conversation earlier this week, and you'll get to hear it on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that one. You won't want to miss it. Until then, have a great week. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe out there. And before we go, a quick thank you to Corey Kubatsky for sitting down with me and MJ Arjumandi. As always, take care over the weekend, and I will see you guys next week. Thanks for listening, everybody.